Steady in the boat. Steady in the boat.
I'm absurd.
Stop piggybacking what you said!
Good students and damn fine journalists. That's what we are here at Alligator Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Monday, March 15th, 2010. I'm your host, Adam Barry, and joining me today, two columnists no longer on the bubble. We got Bobby Colovi.
I'll say it now. I have way too much pride.
And Kyle Maestri.
I think we should just cut the intro music and just play It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
I want to play One Shining Moment.
No, you save it for the end of the show. That's how we close the show, with One Shining Moment. Yeah. And then we can slice in like bits of our, you know.
Our great predictions.
Yeah.
No, we'll do that after the NCAA. After the NCAA tournament. We'll predict like me saying, I don't know, Syracuse wins it all over, you know, at the very end.
Is that a pipe dream, or are we actually going to do this?
Probably a pipe dream. I don't know. Once this whole basketball season thing is over, I might have a little bit of work ethic back in me. So I don't know. We'll consider it. It's something we'll look into.
And you know what? I'll commit to just pestering you until you do it. Not to actually doing anything, but pestering you into doing something.
Although you might have, if Florida loses in the first game, you might have a lot of time in Oklahoma City doing absolutely nothing, which you could start working on this.
That's right, because it's a good segue, Bob, because Florida will be going to the NCAA tournament for the first time since winning back-to-back national championships in 2006 and 2007. They surprisingly got a number 10 seed in the West region and will play BYU Thursday at 11:20 a.m. Central Time, a real convenient time for all of us making the trip out there. What do you guys think? Florida making the field, a little bit of a surprise? Do you think they deserved it and everything?
I thought they deserved it. I mean, especially over Mississippi State, even though Mississippi State went further in the SEC tournament. Right. You just look at their resumes. Florida was clearly the better resume. But from what everyone was saying the last couple of days leading up, it seemed like Florida had no chance of making the tournament. Everyone had them out. And not only did they make it, but they got a relatively good seed for a team that wasn't even supposed to be in the tournament. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised that they made it, but not really like – I'm not like – they shouldn't have made it or anything like that. I thought they should have been in.
Well, I don't know. I don't feel the same way that everybody had them out for the first couple of days, because as late as like Saturday afternoon, right, Joe Lunardi had them in and not in his last four in. They were in like up until like as late as Saturday.
Well, I should mention, not the last couple of days, sorry. After Saturday night's game,
right before him.
Washington won, and so did Utah State lost. I can't remember who beat them now.
New Mexico State.
So those two teams took up two bubble spots and it seemed now that Florida's spot was gone.
Right, and Minnesota was making a run, so it used to be State. And Illinois did pretty well. But then that's what was weird to me, because it looked like they were clearly in, and then they slid like seven spots on Joe Lunardi's board in, you know, overnight, pretty much overnight.
It just hurt them, I think, that like... you know, that they were out, and even though they had better resumes, those other teams were still playing. So you were able to still watch them like, oh, he had an impressive win. They almost beat Ohio State. They looked real good there. So you're still able to watch them and be like, well, they're looking like this tournament team because they're still playing.
Right.
I think that helped the other teams for, you know, a team that's not doing anything to a team that, even though some of them lost, they at least played well against really good teams.
Yeah, it was the fact that they couldn't control their destiny at that point. It was the fact that everybody else sort of could just by, you know, keeping on winning. And that was the hardest thing for the team after they lost to Mississippi State in Nashville at the SEC tournament.
Yeah, but I kind of think Joe Lunardi didn't do his job, because I feel like he kind of like projected a little bit. Like, it was like, okay, these teams are still playing, so like good stuff could happen for them. Where it was like, just stick to what you've been telling us the last couple of days and then you'll be fine. So as a result, he got a miss and Florida got in. And he doesn't miss very often, especially when you get, like me and Adam said, you get to submit your bracket 10 minutes before the committee comes out with your stuff. So, anyway, Florida's in. And like Bob said, putting them in over Mississippi State really shows that the committee is not like last year, but this year they backed up what they say all the time, which is, you know, a win at the beginning of the season in November counts just as much as a win in March, and I think they definitely proved that with how they picked their teams.
I would have had a huge gripe with the system had Mississippi State made it over Florida, because you look and, you know, the NCAA is doing this thing where they're encouraging the non-conference schedules. They're encouraging the teams that go out and make, you know, make for more exciting games like Florida, Michigan State and Florida State and all that kind of stuff. A little more interesting, whereas Mississippi State's best non-conference win was, what, Old Dominion?
Yeah,
maybe?
ODU.
ODU early in the season, so... And then Mississippi State, you know, you said they beat Florida at the end of the year. Florida beat them earlier in the year. Those two wins should count for pretty much the same thing, other than maybe the neutral site home game thing, but not enough to put Mississippi State in over Florida.
I would have liked to have seen, I mean, it's a what-if game, but, you know, had DeMarcus Cousins not gotten that shout-off and Mississippi State won the SEC tournament, even though Florida's a 10 seed, I wonder if they would have made the tournament. Because Mississippi State would have taken that spot.
I think it probably became a five-bid league, the SEC would have. Because you think if Florida's a 10 seed, they're one of, like, the third-to-last team in or something like that.
I mean, we don't really have to wonder this, though, because the committee releases their last five or six in, and Florida wasn't the last team in. Right. I don't remember who the last team was, but it wasn't Florida, so...
Florida would have still made it. Mississippi State would have been in. In fact, I mean, that would have made Florida's resume look a little better. The team, you know, the win against them looks a little better. The loss against them looks a little better. It wouldn't have hurt Florida had Mississippi State won.
And especially because they don't take, like, conference bids into account. Like, it doesn't hurt them that another SEC school would get into the field. So it makes no difference what conference, how many of the teams they take from each conference. So they still would have been in, I think.
I do think Florida's a little bit highly seeded, though, at a 10. I think even the players, we talked to them today, they were like, I expected a 12 or a 13 seed. It's like, well, so did I. So it's good we were on the same page at least. What do you think led to that? What do you think led to them getting the 10 seed?
I mean, a lot of people agree with you, and a lot of people who, you know what they're talking about agree with you. That's pretty much all I've been reading the last couple of days. But I don't know. I don't have too much of a problem with it. I think they're a pretty good team that can play with anyone. Like, they're not necessarily going to win against anyone, but they're going to show up every game and give you a tight game. They've proven that much. So I don't know. When you start to look at the lower-seeded teams, by lower, I mean bad-seeded teams, you're really just splitting hairs at that point. I mean, if you look at someone like the 11 seeds, I just don't think that there's a huge difference between like them and Florida. So maybe they're at one or two spots too high, but I don't think it's a big deal either way.
I mean, one of the big things you said, they played teams close, and they really didn't get blown out. I think the biggest like losing margin was 12 points.
Three times, yeah.
They did that three times. But in those games, they were in it with – they were in those games – late in it. Like, they had a chance to win it, and they just couldn't score in those.
Right, but they did the Florida
and I think it really helps that, you know, three of their losses were two teams that are now number one, or the number one seeds, like two to Kentucky and one to Syracuse. So, I mean, even though they had, I think they were 3-8 against top 50 teams, three of those losses were to the two best teams in the country, or two of the best teams in the country.
Eight of their losses were to tournament teams. The four that could have held them back were South Carolina, Georgia, South Alabama, and... well, I just blanked. What was the fourth loss?
I don't know.
I was paying
attention. Mississippi State.
Yeah,
I was paying attention.
The one that happened
know.
Right at the end. Okay. The one most recent in my mind, but yet still quickest gone from my mind. But eight losses to tournament teams. You know, those four could have held them back, but still a good resume.
And you look at the 11 and 12 seeds, and there's really only like one team that I like out of those groups. It's like San Diego State, Washington, Minnesota, and...
ODU
are the 11 seeds, and then the 12s are Utah State, UTEP, Cornell, and New Mexico State. So of that group, the only team I think kind of got jobbed a little bit there might be UTEP. I think they probably earned a little bit higher than a 12 seed. Mm-hmm. But as far as the rest, like a Minnesota and a Washington, I mean, come on. I'm not in a hurry to move Florida behind them on the list, so... Yeah. No big deal. I think it's about the same, about where it should have ended up.
Right, and they're going to open up the tournament with BYU. Like I said, what do y'all think of that matchup? I think that's kind of a favorable draw in terms of not getting matched up against a super athletic, you know, deep team.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And BYU's strength is, you know, they score a lot of points, but Florida plays really good defense, so I think it's a decent matchup for them. They really struggle where they can't play man defense, and I think they could probably go man against BYU and probably will have to the way they shoot the ball.
Right.
So we'll see what Billy Donovan comes up with, but it's certainly a winnable game. And if you look at some of the other teams they could have drawn, like an Oklahoma State or a Richmond who's already beaten them at the 7 line, I think BYU is a pretty good matchup for them.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like you said, BYU's strength is certainly shooting the ball. They've got one guy, Jimmer Fredette, one of my favorite names in the NCAA tournament, is averaging 21.7 points a game, shooting just about 45% from three, 90%. His shooting percentage is 46, 45, and 90. That guy is going to give Florida a lot of problems. Although, if you look at it, a lot of times this year, Florida's coming against a highly touted guy. They've shut them down, but then some other guy has gone for a career high, like a Rick Jackson or a Darius Miller or whatever, will go off and score a bunch of points. So it'll be interesting to see how Florida matches up against them. Like you said, I think they have to go man, and I think they might have an athletic advantage enough to go man. They're certainly bigger than BYU.
Right, and you definitely want to try to pound the ball to Macklin and Tyus inside. And BYU would probably be smart to go zone and double down on those guys whenever they can and make Florida shoot the ball, which they can't do. So, you know, we'll see how both coaches, I'm sure, will come out with a good game plan, and we'll probably do what we think, and we'll end up with some ugly 62-59 type game or something like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Florida's going to start off slow. They're going to start making a comeback about 5 minutes left in the first half. That'll last till about 8-7 minutes left in the game. And they'll just stop scoring, collapse. BYU will make a couple of big threes and free throws, and that'll be the game. But how far do we have Florida going? Let's just go ahead and get to Florida's prediction before we get to the rest of the field. How far do we have them going?
Well, I got them beating BYU in the first round and then losing in the second round to Kansas State. That's probably going to be the popular pick for them. Right. So nothing outrageous from me.
Bob?
Like I said at the beginning of the show, I have too much pride. At the beginning of the season, I said they're a Sweet 16 team. I'm sticking with it. And they're going to beat BYU and then upset Kansas State before losing to Pitt.
All right. Well, I have them beating BYU and losing to Kansas State, which is, like you said, probably the popular thing, the safe thing, and the correct thing. Bob,
we'll see about that.
So I apologize to you that you have so much faith in the team, or have so much faith in yourself, really, more than anything.
More myself.
All right, you're ready to move on to the rest of the field. We all got our brackets in front of us. Some of us just recently filled ours out about 5 minutes ago, but let's talk about the field as a whole. Kyle, you had some thoughts.
Yeah, one of the things I want to talk about, I think one of the most interesting storylines of this tournament, or non-storylines, is the lack of all the like traditional powers, because it's really incredible. Like, you don't have a UConn, you don't have UNC, Carolina. You don't have UCLA, you don't have teams that are there every single year, and it's really kind of shocking and really different. It's like kind of a different feel to this whole tournament. You don't have those teams that, you know, have really been awesome and, you know, traditionally dominated the field.
Yeah, there's no, like, historically... Well, there are some historically great programs. You look at, like, a Kentucky and a Duke, but there's not just the overwhelming number of them where you feel like, oh, well, these guys have to make it to the Sweet 16 because they always make it to the Sweet 16.
Right, and add Arizona to that list.
Right. It opens the field up. There's a lot more competition. It's the same thing I've felt all year. I don't feel like there's one just overriding favorite to win the whole thing. I think you're going to see it's been a little bit of parity. You know, I think it's top-heavy, but it's not too much at the top to where, you know, it's just like a foregone conclusion of what's going to happen here.
Right.
Bob, you got thoughts?
No thoughts on that? Mm-mm. All right. Well, then the other thing I want to talk about is one of my first reactions when I saw the bracket, and I know a lot of people feel this way, is you have a lot of matchups of quote-unquote mid-major teams playing other mid-major teams in the first round. For instance, a Temple Cornell, 5-12, UNLV, Northern Iowa, 8-9, a Richmond, St. Mary's, 7-10, really just all around the bracket. We have games like this, Butler and UTEP, 5-12. And, you know, a lot of people don't like that. I don't like that. I like to see, obviously, part of what makes the tournament so great is the little guys going against the big guys. And really, since you can't measure them against each other in a conference season, this is the time where we'd like to do that. Right. And it makes it hard to do when they're playing each other. So I don't know what your guys' thoughts are.
It's very similar to me when they did Boise State versus TCU. I was rooting for TCU all year. Unfortunately, as he's wearing the shirt, he was rooting for Boise all year. And we both wanted to see them play another team and win. And
which Boise definitely would have.
Yeah, and TCU would have as well. I mean, I'm safely going to say that those are the two best teams in the country.
Right.
And you got to see that on the field. And sure. So that was pretty much the national championship game. But it still would have been fun to see those two teams play against big conference teams. And then even better is that if they both won, there's a huge gripe that they should have been in the national championship game since both were undefeated. But yeah, it's the same thing. You instead of giving mid-majors a chance to play some of those bigger schools and show that they can compete, you're just putting them against each other and then, you know, let one move on.
I feel the exact same way about the Richmond-St. Mary's game as you feel about that. Like, I love both teams. I think both teams could probably be, you know, first-round upset teams should they play a bigger school, but now it's like you knock one of them out. You only pick one of them to go on. I don't know. I don't like that at all. Butler UTEP, I don't particularly care for that matchup either because I kind of like both teams. I don't know. They need to spread it out a little bit more. I'm happy with the field as a whole. I think they got pretty much the right teams, but I'm not necessarily a big fan of how they seeded them.
Yeah, and then just to play a little bit of devil's advocate on myself, kind of, because there are, you know, there's kind of two sides to this. You know, for a long time, as recently as, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, the mid-major schools couldn't get any love in seeding. So you'd get, like, a really good school like a Butler or Gonzaga that deserved, like, a 4 or 5 seed that would come in with an 8 seed and have to play a 1 seed in the second round. It just wasn't fair, the type of seeding that they would get. So now they've gained respect where they can draw a 3, a 4, a 5 seed. So one could make the argument that, okay, when you draw those seeds, you're going to get 12 seeds, yeah, and then you're going to have to play some schools that aren't as big and aren't as good.
Right.
So there's kind of a little bit to be said there, but I just think that – so maybe, you know, you can justify 2 matchups like that, but to have like 4 or 5 matchups, I just feel like they maybe didn't do a great job pairing some of the games.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a balancing act they have to go through there, because as these teams get better and they get more respect, you know, like you said, they are going to move up, and there's always still going to be those sort of bottom feeder mid-majors, not like bottom feeders, but, you know, in terms of the NCAA tournament, right, like not as good, who have to keep, stay in those spots. So,
right,
I don't know.
It's a situation where it's kind of like you want your cake and eat it too. It's right, like you want the respect, but then you don't want to play the small schools. Like, yeah, you can't really have that. So, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on the issue. Another thing to think about when considering this is like the definition of a mid-major, which we could debate all day, and there's really no answer to this. But Kyle Wellaston, who I respect a lot, he writes for a website called The Mid Majority. His website used to write for ESPN. And the way he defines it is really cut and dry. He just says, look, there's a red line, and if your athletic budget operates at $20 million or more, you are a major. You're not a mid-major. Anything below that red line, your conference is a mid-major conference. So he has the 6 BCS conferences and the CUSA and the Mountain West. He has above the red line, so to speak. So he's not counting any of those in mid-major schools as recently as I saw, unless the numbers change, because obviously fiscally it's going to be different year to year.
Yeah.
So just kind of an interesting way to look at it, interesting way to define it, because it's a question with no answer, unfortunately.
I don't remember you saying this earlier when you were talking about some of the traditional powerhouses, and speaking of, I guess, according to him, this isn't a mid-major, but Memphis is not in it, which isn't really too much a surprise.
Because
since Calipari left, and you know, all of their recruits jump ship, but it's still weird not seeing them in the field of 65.
No, good point. Agreed.
All right, now we're gonna dive into the brackets. I know this is the moment you've all been waiting for a year or so. Last year, 4 of us gathered around a microphone in our back room and went through a long podcast, longer than any of us thought it would be, or longer than it should have been, certainly. So we're gonna cut the fat a little bit, get right down to the meat of it. We're gonna go game by game. We're gonna predict every game in the NCAA tournament once again.
Hopefully you'll get a little analysis with it, probably, make you a little bit smarter.
Yeah, certainly. That's what we're going to do. We're
going to
go
through.
Yeah.
Just don't listen to Bob. No,
you're gonna get... I mean, you want to listen for my picks,
right,
my analysis, don't take it.
Because somehow Bob's going to be right about all this. He doesn't necessarily know
happens
how
happens every
at this
year.
Point. Yeah, but there's definitely going to be analysis if we come to teams. If you guys have stuff to talk about, bring it up. There's certainly a lot to talk about in this field. We're going to start with the play-in game, actually.
Woo! God. Barry?
Yeah, I know. I went a little off on you. We're going to start the play-in game, and then we're going to go to the Midwest.
Because my bracket just says,
TBA.
It says TBA. So it says I was gonna choose TBA over Duke, but I decided to wait.
It actually says sacrificial lamb, right, where that team should be. It's Arkansas Pine Bluff versus Winthrop.
Ooh, I like Winthrop.
All right, let it be known that the ESPN Tournament Challenge doesn't make you pick the play-in game. So I didn't actually pick this game until right now.
Who do you like?
Winthrop, absolutely. They're a tradition-rich program. There's no way they can't win this game.
They're always in the play-in game, I feel like.
Winthrop?
I think they're like a 10 seed.
Yeah.
I think they're like a 13 or 14 last year, something like that.
You know what?
I might have even picked Winthrop in the past.
You know what? Screw it. Arkansas Pine Bluff.
All right.
Is a sacrificial
first
lamb.
First time ever in the tournament for Arkansas Pine Bluff.
What do we always
bluff?
Say about
they
the state
win.
Of Arkansas?
Well, I mean, it's the worst state in the union.
Yeah.
But
which means the worst team's
no,
coming
no,
from
you
it.
Know,
boom.
No, you know
done.
How good this is
going
to be for the state of Arkansas?
Moving on, next game.
This is going to be so good for the state of Arkansas, Bob. This is everything they need. A win from Arkansas, APB, Arkansas Pine Bluff. All right, let's go to the Midwest. We'll start Kansas Lehigh. Kansas, everybody?
Yeah.
Kansas.
All right, UNLV, 8 seed versus number 9, Northern Iowa.
All right, I'm going to take Northern Iowa in this one. This is another one of those. This is one of those mid-major matchups right. that we talked about. Northern Iowa just plays ridiculously good defense. Like they hold opponents to 54 points a game, and UNLV also a pretty strong team though, and a team that you know also kind of like tradition rich, quote unquote. Like they've been around. They have a national championship to their credit, but I think UNI this year is too good. Really ran through their conference. So I'm going with them.
All right, so since I knew little to nothing about either of these teams, I like Las Vegas.
Who calls them Las Vegas?
I just did.
No, I thought he was talking about the city. Right? Yeah.
No, he was saying like the city of Las Vegas. Right. So he's got to pick
that over anywhere in northern Iowa.
You're picking your bracket like a woman.
Something for everyone in this podcast. That's for sure.
Moving on.
I'm going to take northern Iowa as well. I like the way they ran through the conference. UNLV, you know, just sort of one of those teams that get an 8 seed because their tradition and everything. Let's go with the next one, Michigan State, New Mexico State. I can actually speak with some level of authority since I've seen Michigan State play here. I'm going to take Michigan State in this game.
I'm going to take Michigan State as well. Me and my friends made a hypothesis last year that wherever Michigan State is supposed to go, like based on seeding, that's where you put them. Because Tom Izzo's teams don't get upset. I'm sure they have at some point. But like for the most part, Michigan State always seems to go where they're supposed to based on their seed.
Yeah.
Which in this case is to the second round. So go Michigan State.
Yeah, I'm taking Michigan State as well.
All right. Good work, gang. Good work, gang, there. Next game, Maryland, number 4 seed versus Houston, 13.
I'll take General Grievous. Houston stole a bid in that game.
Yeah.
Team that, you know, really doesn't have the body of work all year. Maryland been hot at the end, and Grievous Vasquez, one of the most exciting players to watch. So I'll go Maryland.
I really don't want to pick Maryland, but Houston just kind of lucked into it. They're not one of the better teams. Better mid-major teams in the tournament. Mm-hmm. And although Aubrey Coleman is the leading scorer in the country, I can't pick Houston, so I'm sticking with Maryland.
Right, I'm going to take Maryland as well. I think Houston kind of fell backwards. You know, they backed into the tournament a little bit with that conference championship, but I don't think they're that good of a team. I think they got hot for a little while. I don't think they can be Maryland.
And you mentioned Aubrey Coleman, but you know, players like that are kind of dangerous because he's the type of guy who if he gets hot, he might strap a team to his back and take him, but he could also lay an egg and shoot three for 20. So you don't really know.
He got shut down in the conference championship. Luckily, somehow they're still able to pull out the victory.
But you know, the guy who is going to go off in that game is, like you said, General Grievous. It's a big game for him. Big tournament for him, I think. I think he makes a little bit of a statement here. We said he would last year. What did he do in last year's tournament? He was one of our guys to watch.
I don't remember. I don't remember talking
clearly
about
nothing
him last
memorable.
Because I don't think I liked Maryland too much last year. Mm. But
somebody said General Grievous on last year.
Oh,
show.
Yeah.
I
well, I've been calling him General Grievous for years. But
in terms of your love for him, it really didn't blossom until this year. Yeah. All right, next up, number 6 seed, Tennessee and San Diego State.
I'm going to go San Diego State. I think Tennessee is one of the most inconsistent teams in the field. I like San Diego State a lot, what I've seen out of them. They made a deep run, so I'm going to go with them.
All right, well, I'm going to go Tennessee.
Fair enough.
I'm going to take Tennessee as well. I think they're inconsistent, but I think that doesn't really rear its head until the next round. I think Bruce Pearl gets his guys fired up, ready to go for the first round. 6 seed, I thought a little low for them, though. Just a bit coming off of...
They got just absolutely embarrassed.
Well, yeah, they got embarrassed by Kentucky.
But
top team
still
in the country.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
It's a 25-point loss doesn't sit well, but I don't know. I think 6 is about right.
I would have pegged 4 or 5. Like, one of the last 4s or, like, the high 5. I don't know. Not too outraged by that, I guess. Georgetown, Ohio, I should say. Number 3 versus 14.
Georgetown. Yeah. Georgetown's one of my favorite teams right now, just as far as how they've been playing lately. I think they've been real hot. Yeah. I know they lost to West Virginia close in the Big East Finals, but for them to even make a run to the finals, beat some of the teams they beat, including Syracuse, gotta like Georgetown right now.
Although I don't like Georgetown winning the national championship, I'm somewhat... I somewhat want to, just so I can make the case that Rutgers is better than national champion, since they did beat Georgetown in the regular season. But I have Georgetown moving on for this one.
I have Georgetown as well. Next up, 7, Oklahoma State versus 10, Georgia Tech.
Two teams I don't like a whole lot. I mean, I actually did like Georgia Tech a lot at the beginning of the year, but they've shown me little to no signs of life, except making the run they did to the conference championship game. But in this one, I'll take Georgia Tech. I like the way Favors is playing lately. He's really come on strong. So if he can dominate the paint, they should be able to win that game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love Derek Favors, so I'm taking Georgia Tech.
I will agree. I don't like Oklahoma State at all. I like Georgia Tech just a little bit, so I'll take Georgia Tech as well. And then bottom of the bracket, Ohio State, the villains team versus UC Santa Barbara.
We should mention in that Oklahoma State team, though, James Anderson's one of the best scorers in the nation, so that's kind of an Aubrey Coleman situation, too. If he gets hot, he could win a game by himself.
Number 3 right now, so, third leading scorer.
There you go.
True.
All right, Ohio State, not much analysis here.
We'll take Mark Titus all day.
Oh, yeah. I think Mark Titus might see some time in this
Mark
game.
Mark Titus goes off.
Yeah, I think he gets a trillion at least once in the NCAA tournament.
Since he
I'll
right
say it.
Now has, is in a sling, I'm going to
say
Oh,
that's right. No.
If he does, that's really...
They put him in. It's the national championship game. I don't actually have them make the national championship. But if it gets to that, there could be an opportunity for this, according to one of us. He comes in with a sling on his arm. for 1 minute and does nothing and goes out on top.
I'm not going to lie. If that happens, that's a huge plus for my bracket.
It really would be. How do we want to do this? Do we want to go through this whole bracket or go through the first round of everything?
Let's go through each section first. Right. So, like, we'll move to the sweet or the second round of 32 in this one.
All right. So then let's start with that top game up there. I got Kansas versus Northern Iowa. I'll take Kansas.
Same.
I have UNLV, but Kansas moving ahead.
All right, next one, I got Michigan State, Maryland. I got Michigan State. Topping the Tom Izzo thing, he's going to win one that he shouldn't.
I got Maryland in this one. Michigan State, another team that's kind of been a little inconsistent this year. And like I said, Maryland's been pretty hot, so I'll ride them.
Like I said, I don't like Maryland, so I'm taking Michigan State.
Nice. Fair enough.
All right, next one on down, I have Tennessee, Georgetown. Georgetown taking that one. Tennessee's inconsistency finally comes up. I can say that word.
I got Georgetown, San Diego State, but results the same. Georgetown. I'll take Georgetown.
This is where Rutgers run in the tournament ends. I got Tennessee moving on.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
No chance.
What do you
dude.
Like? Have
you watched Tennessee in the tournament?
Yeah, I don't really
they
like
They only underachieve.
I don't like Tennessee, but I don't like a team that lost to the Rutgers.
What do you like? Why Tennessee over Georgetown? Come on, man. Like, take the Rutgers blinders off.
If I was taking them off, I mean, Georgetown wouldn't. I mean, they'd be right around where they are, but I don't know. I mean, I'm sticking Tennessee. All I think I love Bruce Pearl. I guess.
Doesn't actually play in that game,
but his son does. He'll channel some of his energy to his son.
All right. Stephen Pearl get 2 points and 3 rebounds in playing 27 minutes. Next game down the bottom of the bracket, I have Georgia Tech, Ohio State. Once again, Ohio State comes up big.
Yeah, same matchup, same result. Evan Turner, one of my favorite players in the nation, should be the player of the year. Cross my fingers that they get that right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely taking Ohio State in this one.
Yeah, Ohio State as well.
All right, let's go up Sweet 16, shall we? I have Kansas, Michigan State. I'm going to take Kansas.
I have Kansas, Maryland, but I, too, am going to take Kansas.
Kansas over Michigan State for me.
All right, so everybody has Kansas advancing.
Kansas is one of our Elite Eight teams, the consensus. All right, bottom of the bracket there, I have Georgetown, Ohio State. Once again, Ohio State.
I have Georgetown, Ohio State, and I'm going chalk as well. I'm taking Ohio State.
Oh, you Evan went Turner's chalk pretty much right through this.
Just too good.
Through the Sweet 16 on, didn't you?
Through the sweet, yes, I did. In this particular size,
yeah. I got
in the
I
two
got
games we predicted so far. Who took the top seed?
I got Ohio State.
All right, Elite Eight going to the Final Four. We all have Kansas, Ohio State, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What y'all got?
I got Ohio State.
Likewise, Ohio State.
All right, I got beef here. I have Kansas, but
okay. I'm chalk.
My beef is yes, throughout the whole thing.
Right,
Kansas is the number one overall seed. Like not according to me, according to the committee.
Yes.
I don't know what they said the rankings were for the twos, but you would have to think Ohio State and West Virginia in some combination are the first and second two seeds based on what they did in their conference tournaments, winning both of them.
Right.
How the heck did Ohio State get paired up with Kansas? It seems so unfair to me.
I don't know why I said it, but I said right as Kansas was first overall, I said, I really hope Ohio State is not in that in that bracket.
And
of course,
slapped you in the face.
Yeah, I hate this because I really like Ohio State. I really like Kansas, I think. If I were to pick with my head here, I might pick Kansas, but I'm going with a little bit of my heart. Evan Turner should be the player of the year. I think maybe he hits another 30-foot game.
Yeah, I'm full. My pride is not getting in the way of this one. I'm pretty sure I picked Kansas to win it all at the beginning of the year. So I'm going against that and going with Ohio State.
Well, I think Kansas is the best blend of raw talent and leadership, which is pretty much what you want in this tournament. Evan Turner will be the best player on the court, most likely. I mean, Sharon Collins is great, though, too. But Evan Turner, will be the best player on the court. But I don't think Ohio State has enough horses, so I'll go Kansas. But I do like Ohio State a lot, so I don't.
Would you have had them potentially in the Final Four in another one of these?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have two seeds in the Final Four, so yes, I think that's safe to say.
All right, you want to move on to the West?
Yeah.
All right, number one seed in this bracket, Syracuse versus Vermont.
Well, this game has a lot of meaning to me, and I think it's hilarious that the committee did this rematch because a young Kyle Maestri picked Vermont to beat Syracuse in a 14-3 matchup a couple years ago, but I'm not going 16-1, so Syracuse gets its revenge on the Catamounts in the first round here.
I'm going with Syracuse.
Yeah, everybody's got Syracuse here. Next, 8-9, Gonzaga, Florida State.
I'll take the Zags. I like them. Florida State, I think they're a nice team, but Gonzaga's got a lot of talent for me, and they do well in this tournament generally, so I'll take them.
I hate 8-9s, but I'm going with 8, Gonzaga.
Yeah, I'll take Gonzaga as well. I like Florida State. I think, they could win that game, but then they'll lose in the next round anyway.
Going all chalk in this region, Bob?
Yep, so far, 1-8.
Two games down, two chalk. All right, next
this
up.
This is my most unchalk one, though.
Ooh.
Like bracket.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, because you got Florida in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
All right, next up, number 5, Butler versus number 12, UTEP.
I'm definitely going minus. UTEP's one of my favorite mid-major teams in this tournament. I think, you know, they lost to CUSA finals, which makes me a little bit uneasy. But Randy Culpepper is an explosive scoring guard for them. And Derek Character, transfer from Louisville, is their big man, averaging close to a double-double on the year. So they got a whole lot of talent. Butler plays in the Horizon League, where they don't get tested pretty much ever. So I'll take UTEP.
Well, since Butler's going to the Sweet 16, they're going to beat UTEP.
All right.
I have UTEP as well. I hate that matchup, though, because I think those are both teams who I would like to pick to win, because I think they're both pretty good. But I like UTEP. I like the 5-12 upsets as well. Those are always a popular pick.
And someone the other day called Gordon Hayward the most versatile player in the field other than Evan Turner. So I haven't watched enough of him to have a real opinion on that statement. I know he's real good. I like what I've seen. Like I said, their competition that they play in their conference is pretty much a joke. They ran through it undefeated, which is just impossible to do. So I don't know how tested they're going to be and how they'll respond to some adversity that they'll likely see in the tournament. So
that's a really strong statement, though.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Guy to watch in the tournament.
And he's white.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, oh yeah.
According to Mark Titus, so is Evan Turner.
Yeah. All right, next up, number 4, Vanderbilt, another SEC team, versus number 13, Murray State.
I like Vandy a lot this year. I know little to nothing about Murray State. I'll admit when I don't know a lot about a team, so Vandy all the way.
Yeah, I'll stick with Vandy.
I like Vandy a lot in this tournament. I think I like Kevin Stallings, the way he's coached him this year. He's absolutely deserving of SEC Coach of the Year. And by like him a lot, I mean Sweet 16. So it's
I like him a lot. Little teaser.
Ooh. Something to look forward to in about 5 minutes. Moving on down. Number 6, Xavier. Number 11, Minnesota.
I'll take Xavier. We got to watch that team in the O'Connell Center this year. A team I really like. I think they're well constructed. Mm-hmm. As far as the balance on that team, Jordan Crawford, they got a guy who can kill you single-handedly. So I'll go Xavier.
I'm sticking with Xavier.
Yeah, I like Xavier. I was surprised at how good they were when they played down here at Florida. Moving on, number 3, Pitt versus number 14, Oakland.
I know nothing about Oakland. I'm taking Pitt.
Yeah, I'm taking Pitt as well.
Yeah, I got to go with Pitt. We already picked what we said would happen for BYU-Florida. Want to go around and give a little refresher?
UF.
Florida.
Florida.
You should have said Gators. We get a little bit of unique here.
All right. Number 2, Kansas State. Number 15, North Texas. Everybody Kansas State?
Yeah.
My roommate and former podcast, I don't know what to call him, guest. New kid. Loves North Texas. Wanted to move him out. Thinks he got a job with a 15 seed. But I'm going to go with Kansas State.
What?
he's not picking them to win this game, but he was like, I hope North Texas gets a good seed. I could pick him out of the first round. I don't know.
What would a good seed for North Texas have been? Like a 14 or 13?
Yeah. I don't know what he's getting stuck with.
You can pick a 14 over 3. You can't pick 15 over 2.
That mean green really got job there.
All right, let's move back to the top of the bracket. Syracuse, Gonzaga. I got Syracuse.
Cuse is on the loose.
Yeah, I got Syracuse.
Cuse has got the juice.
Something like that.
Whatever.
All right, next one, I got UTEP, Vandy. I got Vandy moving on.
As much as I love UTEP, as much as I'd love to pick them here, I'm going to take Vanderbilt as well.
I'm going Butler.
Butler. Oh, yeah.
That's right. All right, next one down, I have Xavier Pitt. I have Xavier winning.
Same. I have Xavier winning. Pitt's a team that, to me, has won a lot of close games, kind of skated by, doesn't have a whole lot of talent. Jamie Dixon's really done a good job with that team as a coach, but I'm going to go Xavier.
This one's probably going to be reevaluated because this is my only way to keep Pitt out of the Final Four. And I don't feel good at all about Pitt in the Final Four. But for right now, it's Pitt. I might be switching that one. That's going to be the one that I'm just going to toss and turn over.
You're working like lost. Like, you're just like, you're picking them out of order. You should just pick one game that leads to the next, not like try to fit things in where they don't.
Well, no. I mean, Pitt, like the way I have the next two games.
I know what you're saying. You'd have to advance Pitt if you put them in.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't think like that.
No, this is the four-toed statue of if Bobby's
like,
bracket.
If you feel like you have to advance Pitt, just advance Pitt. Pitt's your Final Four team, man. You're just stepping away from this.
Well, I don't feel good about Xavier being my Final Four team either. So, I might have to suck up my pride and put Q's in there, but I might not do that. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, next one down the bottom. I got Florida, Kansas State. Kansas State winning, ending my brief run in Oklahoma City.
Kansas State is my least favorite 2 seed, but I think they got enough to beat Florida, so I'll take Kansas State.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. I'm going to pick Florida just so that I can go upstairs to our chief and beg for money so we can send Barry to Salt Lake. Yeah, you got about $200 left in the budget.
The bankrupt Barry fund.
Yeah,
that's actually my bank account. It's the bankrupt Barry fund. All right, moving on to Sweet 16. Syracuse, Vandy. I got Syracuse. Let's go to Bob because I think Kyle's going to surprise us.
Well, here. I got Syracuse Butler, and I got Syracuse moving on.
All right. Bring it home, Kyle.
Here it is. I like Syracuse a lot. I do. Don't take this the wrong way.
Do you have as much pride as me? Too much pride?
What?
You said Syracuse wasn't making it.
Yeah, that's no, there's nothing to do with that. No. I have logic here. Like it's probably wrong logic, but yeah. All right, I'm going to take Vanderbilt here. Onuwaku's out, which is a big body for them down low. No. Now they
this
only
Ty Lawson all over they, again.
You think Florida only plays, you know, 8 guys and they're real short. Syracuse plays 7 guys and only 7 guys. They're a good team, like and all 7 of their guys are very good. There's no Dan Warners in those in that rotation. But at the same time, if one of them is injured and one of those guys is Onuwaku, one of your 2 big men, that's going to hurt them a lot and change the way they have to play. So I think Ogilvy maybe gets a little more room down low to operate if he's not 100%. Onuwaku may be 100%, I don't know. But even if they are, Syracuse, we know, is his own team. Vanderbilt's got a couple guys who can shoot the lights out, namely Jenkins.
John Jenkins.
So I'm going to take Vanderbilt. I think they have a nice blend of inside presence with Ogilvy and then outside shooters to maybe get something done against the zone. You flash Ogilvy to the high post, kick it out to those shooters. So I'm going to say they do a little bit better on Syracuse. How they match up defensively might be the question, but Vanderbilt's got some athletic defenders who can match up with a Wes Johnson type and really maybe put the clamps down on them. So that's why I'm taking Vanderbilt.
Not just that, but they are deep down low. They can run a ton of guys that, you know, if Onuwaku's not 100%, they just run a ton of guys at him and Rick Jackson. Potentially wear him down. That's a strong pick. I'm picking under the assumption that Onuwaku will be close to 100%
right,
by that
fair
time.
Fair enough.
I have Syracuse, but I like your thinking. It might be my one way to keep Syracuse and Pitt out of the Final Four. I might have to reconsider this.
All right, bottom of the bracket, Xavier, Kansas State for me. I got Kansas State. I don't like them, though.
Yeah, I don't like them either, which is why I have Xavier. Kansas State, to their credit, though, they've won some big games this year. They probably played above what everybody thought they would be at the beginning of the year. Jacob Pullen's a really good guard. I don't want to take anything away from him. But I just really like the way Xavier plays, and I think they're going to have a good run in this tournament, so I'm going to take Xavier.
I got Pitt over Florida. Three out of four in the Final Four isn't bad. So, you know what? I'm okay with Pitt being in there.
All right.
All right, Elite Eight. I got Syracuse, Kansas State. I got Syracuse moving on.
Okay. I have Vanderbilt, Xavier here.
Oh, wow, that's fun.
And I'm going to take Vanderbilt. I tried to ride Vanderbilt a couple years back when they had Byers and Chan Foster. And Jeff Green traveled Georgetown's way into the Elite Eight. And everyone mocked me for taking Vanderbilt. But I'm going to try it again. You got to burn me twice for me to really be down on you. So I'm going to advance Vanderbilt, sick enough.
I'm taking Pitt. goodness, what am I doing?
Whoever wins that Syracuse Vandy game is going to the Final Four, in my opinion. But I really like the Vanderbilt pick. That's ballsy, and I like it because I really like Vanderbilt. I love Kevin Stallings. I love Jermaine Beal, AJ Ogilvy. Big fan of Vanderbilt this year.
Say chalk now, Bob.
Chalk.
He went there. All right. Are we ready to move on then to the East? I suppose Kentucky, number 1 seed, going to take on the East Tennessee State.
I believe they're the Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers, correct.
I'll go with Kentucky because all I know about East Tennessee State is they're the Buccaneers.
I'll go Kentucky.
All right, I got Kentucky as well. Yeah, because it's the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders and the East Tennessee State Buccaneers.
Not to be confused.
Similar, but
no relation.
Similar, but different. They all are part of the Tennessee State University system, though. So they got that going for each other. Moving on down, number 8 seed Texas. Disappointing 8 seed Texas. Yeah. Have you gone back, flash forward to rewind to the beginning of this year, flash forward to now? Texas and 8 seed is a huge disappointment, I think.
Yep.
And they're going to be taking on Wake Forest, number 9.
These are 2 teams that tried their hardest not to be in the NCAA tournament, but couldn't quite play their way out of the field. But I'm going to take Texas in this cripple fight.
I'm going to go with the upset. Take Wake Forest. Nine
a big upset.
No chalk from Bob.
Bracket busters.
I got Texas as well. Also, Jay Lucas, former Florida guard, sees fewer than 7 minutes in that game.
No. Dogis Balbe, their point guard's out. He's big minutes from Jay Lucas. Big minutes. 12 at least.
Oh, man. All right, down to one of my favorite games, other than the fact that it happened this way. I think watching it will be one of my favorite games. Number 5, Temple. Number 12, Cornell. Big Red.
Going with Temple. I like Cornell a lot, and the Ivy League's desperate to finally win a game in one of these tournaments, but I'm taking Temple.
I'm taking Cornell.
That's right.
Top 3-point shooting team in the nation. I'm taking that.
That's right. Cornell. I like it. I'm going to take Cornell as well. Moving on down. Number 4, Wisconsin. Number 13, Wofford. Wofford, who beat Georgia earlier in the year.
Oh, that's a big win.
I don't remember if it was at home or not, but Georgia's unbeatable in Stegman Coliseum. What do we think, Wisconsin, Wofford?
I'm going to go with Wisconsin, even though I don't like Wisconsin. I don't like them every year. But Bo Ryan's a good coach, truth be told, and I'm going to take them.
Yeah, I don't like Wisconsin, but they're moving ahead.
A consensus that we don't like Wisconsin. I'm going to move them along, but just remember that I don't like Wisconsin when we get into the next round. Remember that.
I don't like the state.
All right, next up, number 6, Marquette. Number 11, Washington.
Okay, I'm going to go with Marquette. That's a team I actually really like. Washington only got in because they got hot in a pathetic Pac-10 tournament.
Yep.
And Marquette, Lazar Haywood, really just a versatile player. Probably about a 6'6 power forward. They can step out, shoot the ball really well. And they got a lot of good three-point shooters on that team. So I'll take Marquette.
I'm taking Marquette as well.
I'm going to take Marquette to round that out. Moving on, number 3, New Mexico. Number 14, Montana.
Okay. I like
Drop New some knowledge, Kyle.
I like New Mexico. I do. They really had a phenomenal season. I'm going to take Montana on the back of one man. That man's name is Anthony Johnson. Not the slightly pudgy point guard for the Orlando Magic either.
Oh.
This kid, Anthony Johnson, Montana fell behind by 20 to some team. I can't. Weber State in the Big Sky tournament final at halftime. And this kid, Anthony Johnson, led them all the way back. He scored 42 points or 41 points on the game. And this kid shoots 46% from the season. From three, all right? And he's a volume scorer. Like, he scores 20 points a game. He is a big-time scorer, and he's just an incredible shooter. So why not? I'm going to ride him for the first round. I'll spoil this a little bit, but I have Marquette going to the Sweet 16 anyway. So a theory I've developed over the years is, you know what? If you like the upset pick and you only have the three seed going one round in ahead anyway, just go ahead and take the upset. You'll feel better if you hit it. So
right. I actually picked the exact same thing pretty much for the same reason, but also because I feel like I didn't have, you know, there's always that one upset that kind of surprised everybody, the lower than a 5-12. So for some reason, I just anticipated now. I think this is the one. This is like the big upset of the tournament in the first round.
Unlike you guys, I like to be right about every pick, so I'm going to New Mexico.
All right. Fair enough.
Brave of you. Moving on down, number 7, Clemson. Number 10, Missouri.
I think I read Oliver Purnell, Clemson's coach, is 0-5 in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, no.
Just remarkable. Despite that, I've probably picked them all 5 of those years. We're going for 6. Let's go Clemson.
I'm sticking with you. I'm going for 6, but 6 straight losses. We're going with Missouri.
Tigers, you girls.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to take Clemson as well. Really, just for no reason.
Missouri is another team that kind of backed into the tournament a little bit. So.
All right. Last one, West Virginia versus Morgan State.
West Virginia, obviously.
Anybody want to take the 15 over a 2?
No.
I don't even think they need a Deshaun Butler buzzer beater to win that one. So.
All right. I think we're all taking West Virginia there. Moving on back to the top of the bracket, Kentucky. I have Kentucky, Texas. Yeah. Kentucky wins.
Same matchup, same result.
Yep. Wildcats.
All right, next one down. This is my special one.
The special one that you stole from me.
I steal nothing from you, Bob.
I told you about this earlier, and all of a sudden you have the same pick.
Now, here's the thing. I hate Wisconsin, as I've said.
Everyone does.
Remember when I said I hated Wisconsin? Cornell wins.
All right.
Yeah, I said it.
Ivy League in the Sweet 16. I do like the Big Red a lot, but they're not even in this matchup for me. I do have Wisconsin going down to the Temple Owls.
Yeah, as I said, I told Barry about this pick that I made, and he decided to hurry up and say it first. That way it seemed like he made the pick.
Yep,
really,
that's
it was
what
my
I
pick. I like how Cornell matches up with Wisconsin. I really hate Wisconsin, so I'm going Cornell.
All right. That's just funny you to steal that from me, Bob.
Yeah, isn't it?
I think I said it first.
Mm-hmm. Guys, you're fighting over the rights to a wrong pick here. Right? Just settle down. Neither one of you is going to want credit for this one when the dust settles.
The rights to a wrong. Great song title.
Nice. Write it down, Jerry.
All right, moving on down. I got Marquette, Montana. I'll take Marquette.
Anthony Johnson can't quite carry him past Marquette. I'm going to go with Marquette in Sweet 16.
I'm going Marquette.
All right, Clemson, West Virginia.
West Virginia, all the way. There's no way Oliver Purnell can win 2 games in this tournament. West Virginia really just shown a lot at the end of the year. They're a really resilient team that guards everybody. Not the best, most consistent offense, but just a lot of versatile defenders. I'll take West Virginia.
Yeah, Missouri doesn't match up well. I have Missouri.
Yeah, I took West Virginia just because Clemson's I was so unsure of that pick. Yeah. West Virginia's real good. I like them. Sweet 16. This is where the Ivy League's miracle run ends.
Cornell over Kentucky.
Remember how I said I really like how Cornell matches up with Wisconsin? I absolutely hate how Cornell matches up with Kentucky.
Yeah, should this game happen, I might like tape it or record it in some way because it's going to be funny to go back and watch years from now.
I think I've seen that game in like Glory Road, exactly. But the roles were reversed for the schools.
Kentucky just runs all over Cornell in that game. Yeah. John Wall scores 20, has 9 rebounds and 12 assists.
I got Kentucky Temple, but I still have Kentucky going to the Elite Eight.
Kentucky.
All right, down to the bottom here, I have Marquette, West Virginia. I can't explain this. Marquette.
He's taking my pick again.
We didn't talk about this.
I'm never telling him my picks again.
We didn't talk about
never
this.
Never telling him my picks again.
Guys,
I'm going Marquette as well.
Guys, you're both wrong. It doesn't matter. Just relax. West Virginia is going to keep on rolling past Marquette and into the Elite Eight.
All right, in the Elite Eight, then, I have Kentucky-Marquette, no question. Kentucky, you got
Kentucky.
You have the same matchup, same result. You guys can just share that region, then.
Yeah.
I have West Virginia knocking off the Kentucky Wildcats, going to the Final Four. My reasoning, Kentucky's shown that although they're very talented and although they're very good, they love to let teams hang around. They really have a problem closing out good teams and just putting their foot on someone's throat. West Virginia has proved that they can win close games. They've done it all season long. Deshaun Butler is icy in crunch time. So I think Kentucky lets West Virginia hang around. Deshaun Butler makes them pay for the first time this season. West Virginia moving into the Final Four.
All right, it's a pretty good pick. Moving on to the South, the final region here. Started off with Duke in the winner of the play-in game,
TBA.
Which of course will be Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Well, I don't know much about TBA, so I'll take Duke.
I'm going Duke.
All right, Duke will play move into the round of 32. Next up, California, Louisville.
I just have a strong anti-Pac-10 sentiment this tournament. Yeah. I'll take the inconsistent but occasionally brilliant Louisville Cardinals.
Yeah,
I'm going with the big upset, taking Louisville.
Way to go.
I love those 9 over 8.
Patino rules. Louisville moves on. Next up, Texas A&M, Utah State.
Utah State, I feel like, should not have gotten an at-large bid. They play in the WAC conference, not a very strong conference, as you might know. No other team in that conference would have been able to get an at-large bid had they not won the tournament. So I'm upset that they're in the field, and I feel like a Mississippi State or Illinois should have been in that spot. Mm. Regardless, Texas A&M takes that game.
Texas A&M.
I have Texas A&M as well. This next one, got a little bit of an upset here. I got Purdue versus Siena. I got Siena.
I have Siena as well. If anybody saw Purdue play against Minnesota, I don't see how you could possibly pick them in that game. Sure, it could come back to bite me, but Siena's won a game in the tournament each of the last two seasons. They're a really good team. Mm. Purdue is really not right now. I imagine Siena will actually be a more picked team in this matchup than Purdue nationwide. Right. But whatever, I'm going with Siena.
I pick Siena every year, I'm pretty sure. And if you want to see how someone picks Purdue, write like this. I'm taking Purdue.
Oh, wow. I just saw it. I can't believe my eyes. I can't believe my eyes were just having. Yeah, Purdue, back to the game Kyle was talking about. They scored 11 points in the first half.
That's incredible.
11 points. I think maybe our old intramural team could have gone out and scored at least 8. In the first half.
It's possible.
So I can't pick a team that I could even remotely compare to our intramural team. Siena moving on there. Next up, Notre Dame, 6th seed versus 11, Old Dominion.
I'll take Notre Dame. They're another team that's got hot at the end of the season. Aaron Godey's obviously a really good player for them. I'll take Notre Dame.
Let me remind you, Notre Dame is another team that lost to Rutgers. So I would like to see them win the national championship. So, again, I can make the claim that Rutgers is better than national champions. I'm going with Old Dominion.
Ooh. All right. I'm taking Old Dominion as well. Good pick, Bob.
Next, never then you see my bracket.
Guys, just share a bracket. It'll be easier.
Next up.
It's not that I look at my bracket.
I didn't look at your bracket.
There might be a fight on air. I may have to break up a fight.
It's like the piggybacking debate. Yeah. I don't get this heated except when I get drawn into an argument.
Except when you piggyback off my picks.
He's baiting you. Bob has been baiting you this entire podcast.
All right. Phil. Next up, Baylor 3 seed versus 14 Sam Houston State. Baylor, I don't think you thought
I would punch Bob
in
the face if he called me Phil. Let it be known. So, all right. Sorry, say what you said again.
Baylor, Sam Houston State. Baylor, a team that you didn't like a whole lot earlier in the year, right?
No, I wasn't high on Baylor at all this year, but they really had a good season. I liked them, I think, 2 years ago when they had a really good squad that cracked the tournament field. But I'm taking Baylor over Sam Houston State just the same.
Baylor.
Baylor. I didn't steal that one from you, Bob.
you followed me and said the same thing.
All right, next up, the game I love so much. Number 7, Richmond. Number 10, St. Mary's.
Yeah, it's not fair. Everybody likes both these teams. They're both two really good teams. I'm just going to take St. Mary's simply because I think Omar Sam hands a little too much in the middle. Richmond has great guard play with Anderson, but I don't know that they have anybody who's going to match up with Sam Hand down low, so I'm going to take St. Mary's.
I like St. Mary's more last year when they had Patty Mills, so I'm going Richmond.
When they were in the NIT?
Yeah.
You like their chances more then? I'm going to be taking Richmond as well. That was a team I saw upset Florida down in Miami earlier this year. Even surprised. That was kind of a joke of a game, I think, at the beginning of the year. Everybody looked at that one on Florida's schedule and thought, all right, there's a win. Richmond came on strong. Ended a pretty solid season, so I'm gonna take the Spiders. Bottom of the bracket, number 2 Villanova, number 15 Robert Morris. Anybody?
Cats.
Me and Adam are both gonna take Villanova.
Of course, you guys are.
Correct. All right, moving on here, round of 32. I got Duke Louisville. I got the Blue Devils. Moving on.
Same teams, same result.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm taking Louisville.
Wow. You gonna drop any knowledge in there? No.
Nope, no knowledge.
You just really like Louisville.
I just like Louisville. Don't like Duke for no reason other than it's Duke, I guess. I don't know. I really, for some reason, I'm not high on Duke as much as anyone else is. Okay. So I'm taking Louisville.
According to Rick Riley, it's because they have a bunch of talented white players. That's why you don't like
No, no, no. See, that's the opposite. No, I love white players.
Klosterman. Oh, that was Chuck Klosterman. That's right, yeah. Rick Riley wrong. I don't know. Yeah, dumb theory. I just assume Rick Riley.
I love white players, so that's not it. I just don't like Duke.
A bold stance. That's going to be an intro song. Eventually, I love white players. Just go ahead and time
I have to agree with Bob. One of my 10 best, was it 10 best things I did about Something. College basketball? White guys. You gotta love the white guys in college basketball.
So. Yeah. All right.
Humphrey, Dan Wernett, love them.
I think they're in the same category.
Yeah.
All right. Next one, I have Texas A&M versus Siena. I got Siena. I just think Texas A&M's not that good.
I also have Siena more so than that. I just think Siena is really good. Ubilis is incredible for them. He's the guy who threw down the 360 dunk in the conference tournament. Ooh. You may have seen it on SportsCenter. Rossiter is another really strong inside player for them. They have a lot of size for a mid-major team, so they kind of can match up better with big conference teams. I'm going to take the Saints into the Sweet 16.
You want to see how you ruin your bracket? Put Purdue into the Sweet 16.
Bob.
Let's go.
I'm going to DVR the rerun of the Minnesota-Purdue game, and you're going to sit down and watch it before the tournament starts. Because I'm confident that if you watch that game, there's no way you can put Purdue in the Sweet 16.
Bob, that's
unbelievable.
It's done.
And even worse, this is going to be my only bracket this year.
You only get one bracket. That's another thing. Let's stop this right now for a rant. Or not really a rant, but a declaration. Much like quarterbacks, if you have more than one bracket, you have no brackets. All right, you take a stand, you make one bracket like a man, and you live and die with your picks. You don't make multiple brackets. That's a joke. You have no right to claim being right on any of those if you do that. So do the right thing. Only have one bracket.
I hate the ones on ESPN, you know, when the people eventually like win the whole thing or whatever, and it's like Barry entry 4. It's like, yeah, like that's your fourth bracket out of probably 8. Like, you don't get credit for that.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to win that paper, I can't be mad at you. But at the same time, for bragging rights and for, you know, office pools, that kind of thing, you get one and only one.
I usually do one, like real one, and then one that's like straight chalk, just pretty much that so that I have a better chance of winning. Especially how the tournament's gone the last couple of years.
That's admirable.
So you have pride, but no integrity.
Yeah.
All right, moving on down. I have Old Dominion versus Baylor. ODU.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm the guy who doesn't like Baylor, huh?
Yeah.
He was not looking at my
Dunn
Wayne. That one. Otherwise, we'd have known the right picks, Baylor.
Yeah. I have Notre Dame, Baylor, but I have Baylor advancing. Lace Darius, I don't know how you say this guy's name, but Dunn. He's averaging 20 points a game for them. He shoots over 40% from three. Really good outside player, along with Tweedy Carter, another guard. So they have good guards. And then
fun names.
Yeah, great names on this team. And I can't even begin to pronounce this guy's first name, but Udo averages pretty much a double-double for them down low. So I don't know. They got horses. They got guys who really had good seasons. So I'm going to move Baylor on to the Sweet 16. And a lot of, like, quote-unquote experts really like them to maybe even go to the Final Four.
So. Looking at the names on this team, how did Fred Ellis and Anthony Jones end up on this team? Fantastically named people.
I don't know.
It's mind-boggling.
This really is incredible. Given Crump, like he doesn't get any time for them. Maybe a walk-on. But what a name.
Yeah. No, that's why they got him. I'm assuming he's a walk-on. Like, who has the best name in like a little bit of basketball talent? Given Crump in here. Nah. Anyway, yeah, I'd take an ODU in this one.
Crazy.
Moving on down to the bottom,
Monarchs.
I have Richmond versus Villanova. I got Nova.
I have St. Mary's versus Villanova, but I, too, have Villanova moving into the Sweet 16.
Good. Nova or Richmond.
All right. Moving on to the Sweet 16 here. I have Duke, Siena, Duke.
I have Duke, Siena, and I'd love to take Siena in this matchup, but I'm going to take Duke. That, if I get crazy later, if I wake up in the middle of the night and sweats, then it could be Siena. But
I don't know what happened to the top part of this region, but I got Louisville-Purdue, and Louisville's moving on.
Yeah. Louisville-Purdue might be the worst Sweet 16 game in the history of the NCAA tournament, so I hope you're wrong for that.
And Louisville moves on.
You're going to look back at, once this whole March Madness thing is over, you're going to look back and there's just going to be a lot of red X's up in this entire part of the bracket. You know what I mean? Like when a lot of green checks and red X's, a lot of red X's at this part of the bracket for you.
I'm okay with that.
All right. Bottom of the bracket, I have Old Dominion Villanova. I have Villanova.
I have Villanova Baylor, and as much as I think Baylor is good, although I wasn't really high on them all year, I'm going to take Villanova, a team that I was high on from the very beginning. They're another team that kind of stumbled into the tournament, but for some reason I'm going to stick with them. At least they're a veteran team that made a run last year into the Final Four. So Scotty Reynolds hopefully leads them into the Elite Eight this year.
Yeah, Scotty Reynolds is moving them on to Elite Eight. I mean, it's only right. He'll make it to Elite Eight in his eighth year at Villanova.
Right. 8 for 8. The whole 8 for 8 campaign for Scotty Reynolds.
All right, and the Elite Eight matchup there, do we all have Duke Villanova?
No, we have Louisville Villanova.
do all the sensible people in the room have Duke Villanova?
Yep.
All right, who you got moving on?
I have Villanova beating Duke. I actually like Duke. I do think they're a good team, but I like Villanova also. I don't know. That's an intriguing game for me, but I'm going to take Villanova. I'll move another 2 seed into the Final Four.
Unlike you guys, this is a real easy choice for me. Villanova easily beats Louisville.
Yeah, this Kansas, Ohio State, and this are my favorite Elite Eight matchups. I'm going to take Villanova as well.
You like the Louisville Villanova too?
Yep. Love it. All right, we ready?
Yep.
Are we ready for this?
Yep.
Let's give a brief reminder of your Final Fours, respectively.
Right. Okay. I have Kansas, I have Vanderbilt, West Virginia, and Villanova comprise my Final Four.
Interesting.
I got Ohio State, Kentucky, Pitt, and Villanova.
All right.
Like I said, 3 out of 4 isn't bad.
Well, I got 4 out of 4. Ohio State, Kentucky, Syracuse, and Villanova. So disappointing that it's all 1s and 2s.
So with you guys, I have one team in common, and it's Villanova, surprisingly enough.
All right. Are we ready for this?
Let's do it.
Indianapolis, April 3rd. Who you got coming out of the left side on my bracket? I have Ohio State, Syracuse. Woody, what you got?
Okay. I have Kansas, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt really did a great job getting into the Final Four as a 4 seed, but Kansas is, like I said, my favorite team in this tournament. Not necessarily, like, emotionally, but just as far as who I think is the best team. I think it's Kansas. So Kansas knocks off Vanderbilt.
I'm going to Ohio State. Ohio State over Pitt. As you know, I hate Pitt, and then my Final Four.
Of course. I have Ohio State, Syracuse. I got Syracuse. I've loved them all year. I think if Onuwaku's healthy, that's going to hinge a lot on that. I got Syracuse in the championship game. But once again, going back, if Onuwaku's not healthy and Vanderbilt beats him, I like Vanderbilt to the Final Four and Ohio State in the championship game. Just to preface that.
Okay.
But Syracuse is my pick.
Right.
Right side, I got Kentucky, Villanova. What say y'all?
All right. I have West Virginia, Villanova. I have Villanova beating West Virginia. I think West Virginia's run ends there. I'm going to put Scotty Reynolds, Villanova, into the championship game against Kansas.
I got Scotty Reynolds over John Wall. Villanova's in.
I have Kentucky over Villanova. I love Kentucky. I think they're dumb, young, and inexperienced, but they're so talented. And I'd like... John Wall, like, I haven't been as high on him as everybody else has this year, necessarily. At one point I was, but I backed down from that a little bit. Watching him take over a couple games at the SEC tournament, I have a lot of faith in that guy to pretty much just take the team on his back and move along. So, championship game?
I got Ohio State and Villanova, and I'm going to put this out there. Right now, I have a 4-year streak of picking the championship right. So, if you're ready for it, Ohio State, national champion.
Wow, is that right? 4 years?
Mm-hmm. I had both UFs. I foolishly remember I was in high school, still a little bit of Gator fan, so I picked UF to win it all. Then next year was pretty easy UF, and I got Kansas and North Carolina next 2 years. So I got 4-year streak going.
You heard it here first, folks.
Ohio State, get ready for it.
Yeah. Anyway, I definitely missed on Kansas 2 years ago, and I definitely didn't pick UF first year.
Or North Carolina last year.
No, I said the whole time, if Ty Lawson was
but
healthy,
you technically
they'd win.
Didn't pick.
Because Roy Williams lied to me. Anyway, I'm saying Kansas against Villanova, and I'm saying Kansas wins.
All right, well, this is a championship game I've pretty much wanted all year. Syracuse, Kentucky. I've said it all along. I think Syracuse does everything you need to do to win a championship. I like Syracuse. Syracuse plays that long zone. I think it gives Kentucky some fits. Cuse winning the national championship.
Before the season, me and Kyle predicted that Syracuse would not be in the NCAA tournament. So I'm sticking with they do not get, they can't make it to the Final Four. That's one of my pride holding me back from that in the map.
That's the other thing. It's going to be some weird form of justice where we didn't put Syracuse in our bracket or whatever at the beginning of the year, and they come back and, of course, they win the whole thing. Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to round out this epic show with our weekly awards, our Reggie Nelson Awards for Excellence in the Field of Sport and Kyle Jackson Bad Angles of the Week. One good thing, one bad thing. We're going to start with our Reggies. Kyle.
Okay, that was confusing for all listeners. My Reggie Nelson goes to a little website called vault.ncaa.com. That's probably not actually what it's called, but that's the web address.
I think it's called the NCAA Vault.
All right, fair enough. Well, you all should go there if you like college basketball, because you can watch any Sweet 16 game in the 2000s on this website. It has it sorted also by, like, dunks, great shots, great blocks, great plays, great finishers, most outstanding players, where it will take you into a game, like, at the moment you want, and it'll give you, like, a little clip. Like, it'll give you a caption of a clip. Like, this one says, Jeff Adrian slams it home after pulling down the offensive rebound. Mm. So you can click on there. It'll take you into that game at the exact moment when that happens. So you can watch, like, kind of highlights from the game. What happens to me is I click on a highlight, and I get sucked into watching the rest of the game, which probably all of you that happened to, too. But it's a great website. Again, that's vault.ncaa.com. A friend linked it to me on my Facebook, and I've spent numerous hours on there already. Definitely check out that website if you like college basketball.
I think the achievement of this is not, like, publicized enough. Like, this is incredible.
This is absolutely incredible. The only problem is I want every game ever.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, so give me more.
But it's like the NCAA. Like, they don't, people don't do this kind of stuff.
No.
This is unbelievable.
This is awesome.
Especially for free, right?
For free. And the commercials are edited out of the games. Not obviously, but I don't know. It's an added bonus. So, like, you'll tell when they go to break. Like, they'll go in timeout and come out of the timeout. But there's no commercials either. So you just go on, watch it. It's incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, that's certainly deserving of a Reggie. A well-earned Reggie. I have a lot of things I could give my Reggie to here. I'll cycle through a couple of them. One of them could go to the UF track and field team, the men's track and field team, for winning a national championship. Something we'll be talking a little bit more on this podcast later. Obviously, a huge accomplishment for Mike Holloway and
Mouse.
Company. Mouse Holloway and company.
Jeff Demps won a national championship.
Four national champions. I can name them. Bam. Jeff Demps, Christian Taylor, Mariam Kevshkevili, and Charlotte Browning.
Huh.
Four UF track and field national champions.
Good
props to them.
Jeff Demps has two national championships, like a national championship of two different sports. That's pretty impressive.
I wonder if he gets his individual and a team. Then I mean, he could have three technically.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeff Demps doing good.
Big career for Jeff Demps.
Yeah.
I could give
My
it
boy.
To them. I'm not going to. I could give it to the city of Nashville, which I just spent a wonderful long weekend in. I could give it to that because, you know, I love me some Nashville. Got to experience a little more of it this time. I think some of the other beat writers had a pretty good time there in Nashville. Could give it to that, but no. I'm going to give it to the Florida men's basketball team. What has been my greatest fear since I started covering the team?
Covering the NIT in front of 35,000.
Against Jacksonville.
Against Jacksonville.
35,000 people, Bob? That's not a fear.
Sorry,
that's a performance. That's my time to shine. No, my greatest fear has been covering an NIT game in the O'Connell Center in front of 2,500 people against Jacksonville. To the point when, after Florida lost to Mississippi State in the SEC tournament, Jeremy Fowler, the Orlando Sentinel beat writer, turned to me and goes, "And now Florida versus Jacksonville in the O'Connell Center in the first round of the NIT." And I just looked down dejected, like, I can't have that. So what happens? Florida goes out and falls butt backwards right into the NCAA tournament. I get to go to Oklahoma City, which I'm a little dejected about since Kyle and I, podcast listeners know, have spent plenty of time in Oklahoma City in the past year or so. But still, I get to cover the NCAA tournament. Very excited about that. Thank you, Billy Donovan and company.
Well, you too. You can stick with your college basketball since, you know, I guess the postseason's going on right now.
The postseason.
I'm going to go for more
of quote-unquote postseason.
I'm going to go for a little bit less meaningful time of the year. Spring practice is going to be starting on Wednesday, right after Pro Day. Most people don't really enjoy it, especially the writers who have to cover it, but I absolutely enjoy it. We finally get to actually see the team, you know, practice and stuff. And for me, I love doing that. I love being around football. I love just watching people run drills. I can do it all day. So for me, spring practice, some of the great times of the greatest time of the year, best time of the year, one of those things.
No,
I don't know. Yeah,
Oh, Bob.
I'm sorry. It is. I love it. I love it better than covering the team in the fall, just other than the games. Other than the games. Obviously, the games are the best part. But the whole week-to-week thing, I hate going, standing around after practice, waiting for someone to tell me what happened in practice. I prefer just to go there and watch practice. So, I enjoy spring practice. That's getting my Reggie.
Wow. All right. Kyle, you got a Kyle Jackson for us?
All right. Well, my Kyle Jackson is going to go to something I like slightly more than migraines and slightly less than root canals, and that happens to be spring practice.
Woo!
I absolutely hate spring practice. It's a total joke. Don't listen to anything Bobby says. It's kind of cool to watch them, I guess, as opposed to not watching them. But all the fanfare and all the media buzz that comes out of spring practice is totally stupid. Injuries, the guy goes down for 4 to 6 weeks, which means he misses 4 to 6 weeks of nothing and is ready in plenty of time for the season. Or, you know, great developments like Sam Roby's secured a starting spot because he's balled out that proved to be false in the fall. So I can't like spring practice any less, and that gets my Kyle Jackson.
But wait, what about the I form?
And the I form, which was used extensively this last season. I could count it on two hands how many times they used it.
You have to take all of that with a nice big salt grain of salt.
Exactly. A grain of salt.
And
it's what it's worth.
You just push that to the side. That stuff's not important. But watching the team play, to me, is just that's just great fun.
All right. I disagree with you, Bob. I'm on Kyle's side. Obviously, we talked about this.
You guys don't really like football as much as me. That's where I'm coming
from. That is true.
That's probably true, yeah. And I like basketball probably. I'd say probably more than you as well. So
yeah.
I guess we can come to a compromise. We'll agree to disagree.
You do remember, I do would like to eventually, if I could, I'd be a football coach somewhere.
That's
so
true.
This is right where my element
thing,
is.
Let's not confuse what's about to go on in those practice fields with football, all right? That's not what this is about.
All right, let me just point out.
We're talking about practice,
yeah.
Right?
Not a game.
I think I told you before that in order not to pay attention in class, what I did once was semester, I made up an entire practice schedule for the week for when I'm a high school football coach.
This is shameful. Bob, this
includes
studying. You shouldn't be saying this.
Includes warming up. Everything's in
there. You're embarrassing me.
That's how I kill time in class.
I'm going to cut this part of the podcast out just for you.
No, you're going to feel it. Include it. It's okay. I also draw a picture of people flying kites.
Didn't I say we're good students at Dampai Journalists? We're drawing kites in class. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, I have a list of things that I could give my Kyle Jackson to. I could give it to Oklahoma City for, you know, being there once again waiting for me. Since I've been there before, I feel like in our 8 days there, pretty much experienced all there was to experience, including a terrible, terrible meal in a gas station diner. But
I don't know why you thought it would be good. I mean, whoever thinks, like, gas station diner, this is where I got to eat. Unless someone told you, you absolutely have to eat at this gas station diner.
It looked like an all-American place. It was far from American at all.
You can always walk out of a restaurant after you walk in and see, this clearly is not what I want.
No, that would imply that it was a sit-down type restaurant.
It didn't really get bad till we walked up to the counter. I asked for chicken, and the guy looked at me, the saddest look in his eyes, and goes, "We are all out of chicken."
As you're out, you say, "Oh, okay," and then you walk out because they don't have chicken. There was you had an out, and you stuck to it.
All right, well, here's
you ate the lamb. Didn't you eat the lamb?
No, I didn't get the lamb. Here's the thing: I won't be doing the same thing this time. But I'm not going to give my Kyle Jackson to Oklahoma City. I'm also not going to give my Kyle Jackson to spring break, which wasn't quite the break I expected because I spent half of it with Kyle and company in Kentucky or on the road back from Kentucky, a couple of days traveling thereabouts, and another half of it in Nashville working. So I could give it to that.
I'm pretty sure you gave your Reggie to spring break. I'm pretty sure if you listen back, I gave you a warning. You're not really going to get much of spring break. You're going to be working most of the time. I'm pretty sure I said those words, and you still foolishly gave it to your Reggie, giving your spring break high hopes that was going to be a nice break. It wasn't.
You gave spring break to your Reggie.
Yeah, because we're to our Reggie.
Right,
it's like a marriage. I gave it to the husband. But I'm not going to do that. You could say I learned my lesson, but I'm not going to give my Kyle. My Kyle Jackson is going to Joe Lenardi, ESPN
Super Joe.
ESPN bracketologist, Super Joe Lenardi. Joe, I could probably pick the field of 65 pretty well, too, if I picked every 8 minutes from March 1st until 5:52 on Selection Sunday. All right? I'm just saying that, Joe. So don't go all high and mighty about how good you are. Oh, I only missed one team. You know what? You should get all 65 teams right if you're doing this crap, if you're picking it 5 minutes before the tournament's actually picked. Joe Lunardi also potentially, like, he had me nervous a little bit, you know, that I was going to have to cover that NIT game in front of 2,500 people in the O'Connell Center against Jacksonville. He had me nervous about that because he took Florida out at random, dropped them like six spots.
He had them as like the third team out.
Yeah, third team out.
He got my hopes up that Barry was going to have to cover an NIT game in O'Connell Center in front of 2,500 against Jacksonville.
I think he got everything in there. Yeah. Yeah, that's Joe Lunardi, like, you're a joke. I don't like you, Joe.
Personally, I don't
like you. Yeah, if we met, I wouldn't talk to you, Joe.
All right, a couple notes here before we end the show. This is what I love about March and this time of the year, tournament time. I just
Spring
got
break.
A text message from one of my friends that says, talk me out of Richmond versus Siena in the Elite Eight.
Wow.
Those are the kind of text messages I love to get. I just love talking college basketball. I love mid-major teams. I love the NCAA tournament.
Did you tell them that Purdue's going to beat Siena?
I did not yet. I'll let him know later.
Okay.
The other thing I want to say is I'm going to put a disclaimer that I put on this every year.
Oh, yeah.
Tournament has not started yet. Starts on Thursday. We're recording this podcast on a Monday, as Adam says at the beginning of the show. So not all my picks are final. Last year, Roy Williams lied right to my face. I woke up in a sweat in the middle of the night. I changed my picks. I changed from UNC winning because I didn't think Ty Lawson was going to be able to walk, according to Roy Williams. I changed probably a couple other things, so I may end up second-guessing myself again. But, you know, if you hear me later boasting, and then you're like, wait, Kyle didn't pick that game. Maybe I did. Maybe I changed it. So,
all right. Bob? Kyle?
My Kyle is – I'm not sure who to give it to exactly, but it's either going to ESPN – the Phillies organization or the sources that told ESPN this, but apparently there's talks that people in the Phillies organization is considering trading Ryan Howard for Pujols. I can't see the Cardinals ever doing it. They explained that it would possibly save them money, but still, you don't trade the best player in baseball unless you're getting a lot back. And it just seems like why trade one good first baseman for another good first baseman when it's not really helping either team? I don't know. It just seems like a pointless trade. I don't know who would consider it. It upsets me that this is even talk, especially since it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen. No one's going to do it. If it happens, I'm going to be upset at both teams.
Oh, you mean like spring practice stuff? It's never going to happen, but Everybody talks about it?
Yes, but I did not say I'm looking forward to spring practice talk. I'm looking forward to spring practice, the actual practices.
All right, whatever. It's fair enough.
You just
I guess.
Get upset at what everyone says about spring practice. I get excited about watching spring practice.
It's also what they say, though, at spring practice.
That's a fair point, though, by Bob.
But because here's my number one rule. What's my number one rule, guys?
Shush you.
That is your number one rule.
For covering the UF football team.
Don't listen to anybody.
Don't believe a word Urban Meyer says. He's a liar.
Make sure you pack the crayons on road trips. I don't know.
Everybody's going to lie about everything that's going on in spring practice. More important, he's going to lie about his health. He's going to lie about his vacation. He's going to straight lie to everybody. So I'm not going to listen to him. I'll write it down somewhere and put it in a notebook.
Put it in a little bit of a newspaper.
Yeah, tell the rest of the country about it.
Don't read that. Don't read it. Come to Gainesville. Watch him practice. I enjoy it. You'll get to watch 7-on-7 drills. You get to watch position drills. I enjoy that part of spring practice. Right. Not listen to I never like listen to Urban Meyer talk. I should put that disclaimer out right away.
That is a fair distinction. Yeah. For Bobby, watching 18 and 19-year-olds run around in shorts outweighs the negatives of all the crap that comes with it media-wise, which is fair. I made a joke about it again, but that I honestly is fair. Yeah. To me, it doesn't outweigh that, though. Like, I hate the buzz so much more than I like getting out there and seeing what's going on that it's miserable for me. But I understand where Bob's coming from. That's an important distinction, you know, to be made.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like, well, I don't know, because then you could look at it as, like, is the media creating these stories by asking them questions, or are these guys creating them by saying
they're saying it because in spring practice is the time to work on stuff that you're probably never going to do just to work on it, because you can't work on it in the fall, right? Because that's when you actually need to work on things that you need to prepare for the game. So spring practice is just to throw out stuff, see if it works. If it works, maybe it'll stick, but a lot of the stuff isn't going to work. If you remember, I argued extremely hard against the iPhone. That was never going to happen.
He did.
And,
we both did.
I mean, it's just one of those things. Spring practice is the time where you try stuff, you see if it works, you put players at different positions to see, especially if they're kind of not really earning a spot somewhere else, but you don't want to waste their scholarship, you put them at a different position. It's fun for me because you get to watch that, and you just don't believe a lot of things that's said. It's going to happen because that's the time it's going to do it, and people want to report stuff, and it's fun to hear that, you know, that they're running the I formation, which, you know, considering it's Urban Meyer, he never does, he would never do. So, I mean, you have to report it, I guess. I don't know. I wouldn't.
As far as the media creating it, this is like the perfect time of the year for coaches to plant whatever they want in the media, because there's no like balance. It's not like there's a game on Saturday and you see what actually happened and then you call them out on it. So they can sit there and tell you such and such a guy is balling out. We love him to death. He's going to get so much playing time. And you don't know for another, you know, 5 months or whatever it is until the first game. So this is a perfect time for them to sit out there and tell me how great Lorenzo Edwards is, how great Sam Roby is, how great all these players are that aren't going to get any playing time, how John Brantley deserves to, he earned meaningful snaps. He earned that right. So, I mean, it's just a great time because you can't check them on any of it in the actual game. So the coaches just run wild with saying whatever they want and pretty much acting on their agenda, if you ask me. So that's why you shouldn't listen to anything that comes out of it. You know, we have to report it. And, you know, in every story, it doesn't say, you know, Bobby Colovi said this is going to happen. It'll say this is what the coaches said that day. And that is what they said that day. So I don't know. Just keep it all in perspective.
I mean, if you want us to put an edit note that Urban Meyer is a liar after every story, I'll do it. But just say you should just know that he's probably going to lie to you.
Right, we're just going to put an audio clip in the online version of the story, too. It's just going to be your infamous line. It's going to be said while they're reading each story. It's just going to be on repeat. Urban Meyer, liar. Don't believe a word he says. All right, well, that wraps it up for this show. Send any feedback to podcast@alligator.org. I would love to tell you what's going to happen at the end of this week, but I honestly don't have any idea. I'm leaving for Oklahoma City early Wednesday morning. I'll have some media out there. Obviously, there's going to be some big stuff happening here in Gainesville with Pro Day and spring practice starting off. Probably going to want some updates on that. Kyle won't. I assume the listeners do.
And as you know, since Barry's gone and we can't be trusted to podcast without him, there might not be a podcast right away.
Yep, I've definitely never let you guys podcast without me on the 5, 6, 7, 8 shows you guys have done without me before. There could be 2 podcasts from 2 different locations at the end of this week, for all I know. Like, or there could be 0 from 2 locations.
You guys are forgetting, Adam's covering the Florida Gators. He'll be back before we know it.
All right? Nope.
No, he's got a plane ticket on Sunday, so you can't leave.
I'm staying till Sunday no matter what happens.
Drag.
I figure I got to be out there Thursday anyway. I don't have Friday classes.
No, absolutely. That's
what's a weekend in Oklahoma City, huh?
No, that's definitely the right
Sounds like a great time
to watch
all
the games.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
End the show, Barry.